Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Capri Global Capital Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravikant Bhat from Capri Global Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Capri Q4 FY22 results call. Before we begin with the opening comments by MD Mr. Rajesh Sharma, I will read out a brief disclaimer. Certain statements in the call would contain words or phrases that are forward-looking statements, and all these forward-looking statements are subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated by the forward-looking statement. Any opinion, estimate, or projection herein constitutes a judgment as of the date of this call, and therefore there can be no assurance that future results or events will be consistent with any such opinion, estimate, or projection. The full disclaimer can be accessed on the slide 2 of our Q4 FY22 investor deck. With that, I now hand over the call to our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, to present his opening comments.
Good afternoon, friends, and hearty welcome to Capri Global's Q4 FY22 earning call. It is a pleasure to once again discuss our quarterly earnings performance with you all. We announced our audited consolidated results for Q4 and FY22 on Saturday, 22nd May 2022. I hope you had an opportunity to go through our investor deck. In my opening comments, I shall focus on three aspects: business and earning performance, asset quality and credit cost, and our growth guidance. During Q4 FY22, the operating environment was largely smooth with hardly any disruption during the short-lived third COVID-19 wave. On business side, we delivered a 37% year-on-year growth in AUM, including the ₹1.2 billion we booked under co-lending, which is a new initiative for us. This compares with our 20% year-on-year target we thought we would deliver in FY22 while maintaining a 22 to 27% medium-term CAGR target. Clearly, the performance has been much above our guided path. Performance across all verticals was strong, including in construction finance, where we consciously pegged growth to the retail AUM performance to keep its shares under 20% of consolidated AUM. The co-lending mechanism was activated for MSME. We achieved ₹1.15 billion AUM under this mechanism, the first full quarter of operations. Although we are not sharing an explicit target yet for this AUM, it would be fair to consider 1 to 1.5 billion is base quarterly momentum for the MSME product under co-lending. Co-lending for affordable housing has been activated in Q1 FY23, for which we tied up with the State Bank of India in March 22. We are gearing up for the formal launch of 20 gold loan branches in June. 8 shares in Q3 FY22 earning call. We have some ambitious plan here with AUM target of ₹80 billion and exclusive network of 1500 branches in the 5 years by 2028. We aim to open 100 gold loan branches in H1 FY23. Top and middle rank leadership has already been onboarded and lower level recruitments are on fast track. On disbursals, the growth for Q4 FY22 appears a bit tepid at 12% year on year. However, it should be noted that Q4 FY21 disbursal were also an outcome of pent-up demand following normalization post-second lockdown. In fact, we did 68% of FY21 disbursal in Q4 21 alone. Hence, a better comparison would be the full-year disbursal performance, which was ₹28.4 billion over ₹15 billion in FY21. This signifies a 90% year-on-year growth. Our car loan distribution business had first full year of operation. The vertical originated ₹17.4 billion in new car loan origination for our partner banks. The business performance progressively improved during the year, peaking at ₹7.8 billion in Q4 FY22. We are confident of doing upward of ₹30 billion in car loan origination in FY23. The vertical contributed ₹467 million in gross fee income and is profitable since Q2 FY22. I shall now briefly comment on earnings. Our spreads, named after showing resilience and expansion in 9-month FY22, exhibited weakness in Q4 22. This is after adjusting for some one-off effect. The chart on slide 14 are self-explanatory. We had held back rate increases. However, after the empathetic RBI rate action earlier this month and quick general acceptance of a tighter rate scenario, we are in the process of resetting yields on all the loans that were such reset are due or overdue. There is a meaningful portfolio that can be repriced in both affordable housing and MSME segment. We expect to stabilize and effect a trend reversal on NIMs going ahead. We have already made a beginning in affordable housing loan, where incremental yields were better in Q4 FY22. Please refer to slide 13 in this regard. Our expansion, both people and network, is reflected in the inflated operating cost as well as the bumped up cost ratio as illustrated in slide 15. We have had the strongest expansion since FY19, some of it front-loaded. Slide 29 show our headcount increase, which is up by 1.7 times year-on-year basis. We also added 32 branches during the year. Our business model places network and people on the center of growth plan and are essential for our business. To that extent, we shall stay a course on expansion. We are confident some of the course corrections or earnings that I discussed earlier shall eventually nudge our cost ratio lower. On asset quality, I would say we are satisfied overall, although the quarter may be somewhat showing the higher credit cost and delinquency. The elevated credit cost, in absolute terms, our stage 3 assets have shown a decline. Collection efficiency, especially in MSME, which was lagging, has caught up strongly to touch 100%. Other parameters like CBR are exhibiting improvement and are closer to pre-pandemic level. Qualitatively, we can say we are more optimistic about asset quality turning out better than a year before. The write-off too have been higher than in any year after FY16. In other words, elevated write-offs are that much rare for us. Cumulatively, we wrote off ₹413 million in FY22, of which 25% was in construction finance. It was purely technical in nature and shall be fully recovered. The rest in retail portfolio had a sticky element and has been prudently written off. Despite the spreads and cost moving adversely, we have delivered a good performance at operating profit level, which increased 84% year-on-year in Q4 FY22 and 28% year-on-year in FY22. Our net profit registered a 54% year-on-year growth in Q4 FY22 and healthy 16% year-on-year growth in FY23. Finally, on the outlook ahead, I would consider optimism on the growth given. We have much going for us, a strong retail sales team that can deliver both on and off balance growth and a healthy appetite in wholesale lending. We consider 25% year-on-year AUM growth achievable in FY23. On earnings, we expect to report a much better performance as compared to Q4 FY22. In other words, Q4 22 could be considered a bottoming out level for our earnings. Certain line items like credit cost were one-off, so there was no sustained trend over there. Such items shall simply reverse to better level going ahead. Fee contribution from the car loan distribution business is yet to achieve maturity and hence shall be a growth contributor to the net income. So overall, our earnings should exhibit a healthy growth trend. With that, I conclude my opening remarks. We shall now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Ashwin Agarwal with Akash Ganga Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations for a set of results. So my question was that due to rising interest rates, so how do you see the borrowing cost moving forward as the interest rates are going to rise further, and how should the same be passed on to the borrowers?
So our majority of portfolio under MSME and affordable housing are semi-fixed level, and there it is possible to pass on the hike to the customer. And our customer of that no income proof category, where the smaller customers are there, they are more care for the availability of funds and the cost of funds. So passing on 30 to 40 basis to the customer will not be difficult. So I think that cost of fund, whatever increases, we are going to have our ALCO meeting during the month end. By that time, we'll be able to take the effect of all the bank MCLR hike. And on that basis, a formula which has been given by the RBI, we'll pass on the entire cost to our customers.
So the spreads would be largely be maintained in 6.3 to 6.5% kind of range only?
Yes.
Okay, so that range.
Yeah, spread will be able to maintain.
And my next question was, sir, that when we see our growth targets, our major contributors are going to come from the gold and MSMEs. So like, how do you see the MSME sector like shaping up in terms of growth?
So our MSME segment is going to be the key contributor for us. I think going forward on a consolidated basis, MSME segment will continue to remain the biggest contributor. Currently, the AUM is about 50%, and with the gold loan inclusion, it may come down to about 35%, but still it is going to be the majority of it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Naman Bansali with Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the cost to income ratio, which have been slightly inching upwards. And is it attributed majorly to branch expansion? And what sort of guidance do we have here for FY23, given that we'll continue to add new branches?
So I would like to say that our cost to income ratio also comprises the cost of car loan segment, where almost 400 employees we have. So in the current context, cost averaging would be a more robust way of tracking our cost efficiency. Please note that our employee and non-employee operating expenses now include the OPEX incurred on our car loan distribution team, which is almost 16% of our headcount and on our payrolls. The AUM, this creates a one-time fee generating AUM and not a spread generating AUM that sits on our balance sheet. Hence, while looking at the quarterly cost by average AUM ratio, one should include the car loan AUM in the denominator. This would deflate the cost average AUM ratio by 50-60 basis. So if you look at our average AUM, OPEX will decline by 50-60 basis that way. I think while we are given a 40% cost income ratio guidance in FY22, I think we should be able to keep our cost income ratio in the range of about 40%.
Okay. And my second question is that, could you please talk a bit on the housing finance business? Like, has the things improved and how have they increased? And anything on how we see that on the business environment side?
So if you look at our housing business, AUM is growing almost 51% during this year. And now we already increased about 32 branches during the year. Our expansion is continuing. And the funds in the housing finance company are available from NHB at about 4%. So there is a big cushion available in the margins because of the low cost fund availability from the NHB. And demand is there. We see on the ground the business is growing well. Next year also we will continue to with the pace of 30% plus onwards in this segment. So because of low cost fund, because of the demand, because of the increase in the branch, I think growth will be there and margin will be better.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Amresh Kumar with Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thank you for this opportunity. I wanted to ask you something on your gold loan business. In the past, you have explained that this is a very good opportunity. This is a very good business. I mean, you get high single digits to double digits margins, and then there is hardly any cost of delinquency. So this is indeed a good business. But in the past, can you explain why there has been such a, only few players in this business? I will give you another observation of mine. The State Bank of India, which, increased its gold loan business by about 5x in last 2-3 years, now it has also gone slow. Last 2-3 quarters, I'm not saying it's AUM growing that fast. So just can you explain what is stopping everyone else to come into this? Just your observation.
So gold loan business require a deep penetration in large number of branches. Otherwise, it's a very high operating cost business in the segment the NBFCs do operate. The customer of the banks are different and NBFC customer are entirely different. Bank would lend about 9% rate of interest, whereas the NBFC do land in the range of about 15% to 20%. So there is a distinctly different customer segment. To operate the gold loan segment is a high OPEX business, as I said, and it requires a large number of branch networks. If you see our plan, we are also planning to open the 1500 branches. You have to deeply penetrate it. Your branches has to be in the place at the ground floor level where the rentals are high. You have to put up the strong room, take the insurance, keep the very well-trained gold valuer, and then you do the business. So it is a business which requires a particular size. Without that, this business will not be able to be profitable. Hence, any NBFC who either plan for a deep branch network 1,000+, it will not turn out to be profitable. And this could be one deterrent. Barring that, I think there is a good appetite more in the northwest. South is already well covered by Muthoot, Manappuram and other players. But northwest still have a lot of scope. If you see other competition in the gold loan, they are also new expansion, 80% expansion is happening in northwest. We had engaged the Boston Consulting Group and couple of great bureaus to get the data. And I think this business still has lot of scope, and what we are talking is only creating a book of next 5 years of 8,000 crore, which in Indian context and overall looking at the size of 3 lakh crore is still very small. So while it, in overall context it is doable, but it is going to be profitable for us, and it will give us a cross-sell opportunity. Now our customer segment is same. The kind of customer we deal in MSME are same, housing finance same, and same customer will be in the gold loan. So this is also going to help in the cross-sell as well.
So my question on this would be, a bank giving gold loan at 9-10% and NBFC like you giving gold loan at 15-16%, and I understand that banks have higher cost of operations and all. So do you think at 10% them giving their ROA in this business or ROE in this business would be similar to yours?
I have not tried what the bank ROE, but I would say that bank deal with the customer who are their existing customer, whose data is available to them. NBFC just value the gold, take the KYC and give the money in the same visit in 10 minutes. Whereas the bank take much longer time. So the customer segment is different. Now, what will be the bank's ROE on this? I have not really tracked.
Okay. And so second question is on your asset quality. In the last quarter, did it vary from what you had expected at the beginning of the quarter, or was it in line with your expectations, and what do you expect now for next quarter or two where your asset quality would be? in terms of new stress formation?
So in the last quarter, we have seen the collection trend of a one particular segment of the customer, and based on the feedback by the, our collection team and their track record, we have chosen to write off those accounts where we estimated that money is not going to come and it is better to clean up rather than continuing those accounts. While technically the collection effort reporting to CIBIL and the recovery efforts by Section 113, other measures will continue, but as a prudent measure to clean up the balance sheet of such account, we have decided to write off those accounts. And if you see our write-off, which is about on the consolidated level, it is about 22 crore rupees write-off we have done. And similarly, we have taken additional provision also. So that has resulted us in a higher PCR and strengthening the balance sheet. Going forward, this is a one-off. This is not going to be repeated. And we feel the coming year, our delinquency will be lower. Our GNPA level will be lower. If you see the trend in delinquency trend also, our delinquency trend is showing a healthy GNPA has come down, net NPA has come down. So GNPA has come down as compared to quarter 2.99, it has come down to 2.40 at a consolidated level. If you talk about housing finance company, it has come down to 1.5%. And if you talk about CGCL, where the GNPA has come down from 3.5% to 2.7%. So there is a drastically GNPA has come down. Going forward also, our collection efficiency, as I said, it is nearly pre-COVID level in housing finance segment. So it is almost crossing about 99%. So collection efficiency is good. Major write-off has taken place. So in future, we don't see any trend coming off which will give us a surprise.
Got it. So I assume that this was your cleanup quarter, last quarter.
Yes.
So my last question would be, sir, on the progress of your co-lending business with SBI. I assume this is very exciting and a very big opportunity for you.
Yes.
So can you just expand a little bit more on this? Where have you reached in last one quarter, and where we are right now, and where are you seeing this going forward in next few quarters? Any guidance, any kind of color would be very good for us.
Currently, co-lending is happening still manually, because all PSU banks follow a very strong system of technology, firewalls. They have given to some vendor where technology module will be developed, where we will put up the file in our system, and that through some intervening system will go and sit in their system, and they will approve or decline based on their underwriting parameters. And that will happen online. Currently, all is happening is manual. With that also, we are able to achieve in the last quarter 1.15 billion rupees under co-lending. And with this pace, we hopeful to do about 6 billion rupees co-lending in the next year minimum. I think this is a very conservative target. Hoping that the bank's technology platform will be built in the next 3 to 4 months, then this volume will take off. Here the advantage is, 80% money is going to be given by the bank, 20% is by us. And that 20% also indirectly we get funding. So our ability to leverage will become almost 25 times. And this can be a real game changer. Another aspect is here, every year we see the about 10 to 12% of foreclosure, and those customers go to the lower rate of interest for other NBFC or preferably with the bank. And those customers are our best screen portfolio. With the co-lending, we will be able to hold those customers with us rather than they leave us. And that will bring a big change in our foreclosure trend. If you look at the last year is almost 600 crore rupees plus amount of customer we lost under foreclosure. Their income has gone for the subsequent years. And if you are able to retain even 60-70% of that under the co-lending, this is going to make our profitability better. So under the co-lending arrangement, we are, any customer counts for foreclosure, we reduce the rate and shift to the co-lending. Because in housing finance, our co-lending tie-up is at about 6.8%. And our MSME co-lending tie-up is about 8.5%. So customer whom we given a loan at 14% wanted some, because after 12 months track record or some other progress, some bank or some NBFC or rather bank is willing to give a loan at 11% or 10.5% or 10%, under the co-lending we'll be able to retain him by offering the lower rate of interest. And by thus, a major chunk of customer, best of the customer who leave us, we'll be able to retain, and this is going to significantly change our income. Those customers, we can do cross-sale also later. So I think co-lending is going to be a big game changer for us. And we are hoping the technology will be built very soon. Banks already given that mandate through their open tender system and whatever mechanism is. And we hope that next 3 to 4 months that should be in place. But without that also, we are on a conservative basis, we'll be able to achieve about 600 crore rupees under the co-lending.
Got it, sir. That is very helpful. Thank you. I will come back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Dr. Ajit Kaushal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, please.
Hello.
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, this is Dr. Ajit Kaushal. I am professor of law. First of all, I would like to congratulate you for a very good result once again. And under your leadership, the company is going well. I would like to ask the question which really concerns me as a shareholder. You are already a managing director and now you are a chief financial officer of the company as well. So what the message would you like to give by making such kind of changes? Do you foresee to appoint another CFO in near future who could work full time in the company?
So CFO is a KMP position which cannot be kept vacant for more than 6 months, and that is the reason to fill that the board has given the additional charge to me. Especially it cannot be kept open for more than 6 months. While we were looking out for a CFO, we had finalized somebody, and because of some reason he couldn't join us, and that has delayed the process. So search is on. We hope that next 2-3 months we should be able to onboard the CFO, and we already given that mandate to the large search firm, so it should be filled very soon.
Okay, sir, we have a firm belief on your leadership. And I am sure that Capri Global is going to set a very good example as far as the corporate governance is concerned. My second question is, sir, that earlier Deloitte was our auditor. And now, in case of Deloitte, another auditor has come. Deloitte has very good reputation in the market. May I know, as a shareholder, that what would be, I mean, the frame of mind and what would be the circumstances under which the auditor has changed? What may be the reason behind it?
So last year, Reserve Bank of India has came out with a circular that any auditor who is continuing in any NBFC cannot keep more than 8 number of audits, whereby Deloitte was with us in the 4th year, and they have to limit that limit under that circular. So
okay,
we have to choose another auditor. The current auditor, M.M. Nissim and Company, has been selected very carefully. By talking to many, and M.M. Nissim and Company is also happened to the auditor of HDFC Bank, Kotak Prime, and many other reputed large corporates. So based on their strength, we have selected them, and I think they are equally good as compared to Deloitte also. So there is a very high quality audit firm. And Deloitte has to go because of the limitation RBI has put into them. Not that we had asked them to go.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for your answer. I am always satisfied with your answer. And it is really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Vinit Agarwal with Edelweiss Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. Just one question. How much of your restructured books are still under moratorium? And what are the collection efficiency under the restructured books?
As far as this our MSME is concerned, we have about NBFC is concerned. Our MSME book is NBFC is concerned. We have about 3.3% book still under the restructuring. And in NBFC, there is a moratorium period is over. However, housing finance still is continuing. About 13 crore 14 lakhs worth of still in the housing finance, the moratorium is continuing.
And how is the collection efficiency there in the restructured books?
So restructured book collection efficiency is slightly lower than the normal pool. It is about 80%. But collection efforts are going on and all are these are secured. So the moment money doesn't come, they fall in the NPA category. And there we are able to initiate the SARFAESI action and start the recovery. So anything which goes in SARFAESI, we are able to recover the amount within 9 months' time. And so I don't think there is any major concern on that side, being amount is also small. And the moment it becomes NPA, it entitles us to take over their secured asset under SARFAESI and recover the amount.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you all for joining the call. So as I said, we will continue to grow on the path of our stated strategy of lending in the secured segment where banks are not catering and serving to those customers, be it MSME, be it affordable housing, and now be it the gold loan. The same kind of customer in the common geography will continue to operate, and I think it is a business which require the ground, local understanding, have entry barriers. Having this business more than about 9 years, we are quite confident to grow about 25% for next 4 or 5 years. And we are, as a promoter, we are committed to infuse more money as and when needed by way of right issue or any other mode. So we are committed to this business, and we see there is a golden opportunity because of the co-lending where our ROE will be better, because once this co-lending take off, we don't require much of capital, and this can be a complete change in the business. Our new car loan origination business, where we don't provide any capital but use our banking relationship leverage and our branch network leverage, next year we'll continue to do about 3,000 crore of average new car loan origination. That means almost 75 crore worth of fee income will be able to generate, and it will be very good profitability contributor. So collectively, looking at co-lending profit, looking at the profit from new car loan vertical, should be improve our profitability. Although on the gold loan branches next year, we will be spending money, and gold loan branches will take about 15 to 18 months to deliver profit. They will remain under initially the process of setup and delivering some losses. But in 18 months onward, they will become profitable. But the profit generated from car loan, co-lending, and then the high AUM growth, I think should be able to take care of it. So overall, we are quite optimistic for the next year with all these positive developments. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.